Well, good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. I would like to thank you for your prayers for my family's and my behalf and your concerns as we've fully recovered from COVID. And I just want to thank you for your understanding this morning as we go through changes once again. And we're asking you to wear masks. I appreciate your understanding in this. So receive this call to worship. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name, and that is Psalms 66, 1-4. There is one thing that never changes, and that is God. He is the same from the beginning. So worship him this morning. He can hear and he can understand us, even though we might need to sing a little bit louder this morning since we have masks on. So I encourage you to do that. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you are unchanging and all-powerful. There is nothing that you do not know. We praise and honor you. We thank you for your love and compassion that you show to us each day through Jesus, your Son. Give us peace and comfort in these uncertain times. I pray for wisdom for our government that you have set up and put into place. Move their hearts to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, I would like you all to stand here this morning.
You rest on the
practical needs.
Let us pray. Father, thank you that we can come together at this time and just praise and worship you. Thank you for that. I just ask that you take all the money that was given this morning, just bless this building with any problems that it has, that it can be completely fixed. I ask for your blessing for Eric this morning. Just give him all the words that he needs to share through to us, and open our hearts in a way that we can just take those words in and use them the way you want us to use that knowledge, that wisdom that you have given to us, Father. Thank you for your love, all the wonderful things you do, all the blessings you give to us, Father. Thank you for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Here I stand, your strength, thy strength in me.
that we would all be ready to hear from you this morning. Amen.
I would invite Eric Marshall and Carl forward. Well, this morning, Eric Marshall, he's our new bishop. He's going to be giving our message this morning. I would like to have a prayer for Carl and Eric, and then I will turn it over to them. So will you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the years of faithful service that Carl and Julia have given to watching over your churches and congregations. Thank you for their leadership that they have shown us. Bless them as they continue to follow you in this new way. We thank you for the call that you have placed on Eric and Cheryl. Pour out your Holy Spirit this morning, giving Eric your words. Open our hearts so that we can hear what he has to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, Tony. I was just struck when we were singing, What Can Wash Away My Sin? What Can Make Me Whole Again? How those are really two distinct aspects of what Jesus does for us, washes away our sins, and the healing and the wholeness that comes with that. Well, just because I'm retired, it doesn't mean I don't struggle with theological questions anymore. Our grandson Moses asked me recently, he's 8 years old, he says, if God loves everybody, why did he make asteroids and volcanoes? Which tells a little something about what he had been reading. I did give an answer. I'm not going to tell you what it is because it's not my turn to preach today. But it's just so wonderful to gather here around the theme of Thanksgiving, Eric. And I look forward to your message. And I just want to thank you as a congregation again for your love and prayers and financial support and your words of affirmation during the 12 years, actually almost 13 years that I served as your district bishop. It was a privilege to serve, and your support was vital to my ministry, and I know that you're going to offer the same level of support to Eric. I am so delighted in the leading of the Lord and the calling of the three bishops to serve together as a bishop team for the 18 congregations that I had overseen. Eric is here, of course, and then there's also Brian Martin and Jim Wyke. But Eric continues as the lead pastor at Blainsport Mennonite Church, and Eric has now primary oversight for not only our congregation here at Bowmansville, but also Gaiman, Red Run, Green Terrace, and Weaverland. I have known Eric for many years. Actually, I've known Cheryl, his wife, longer than many years. She was my student at Gaiman School a number of years ago, but I've gotten acquainted more closely with Eric in the past 5 years as I've given oversight to Blainsport. And during these years, Eric has earned a master's degree at Capital Seminary, and that was a master's in church leadership or
pastoral ministry.
So I feel like I got a little piece of that education myself, because when Eric and I met, he was taking these courses and reading these books. And we talked and talked about a lot of ideas, and it didn't cost me anything. And so I'm just so glad you can be here, Eric, and I'd like to introduce you as my bishop, our bishop, actually, but my bishop, too, and I look forward to this message on Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Bowmansville, for having me as I left the house this morning. I had to put on my hat, and the hat I put on was to remind me what hat I'm wearing as I come and serve you here at Bowmansville. What hat am I wearing today? And today I'm wearing the bishop hat, as Carl pointed out. And it feels a little strange to wear the bishop hat. I've been a pastor for 25 years. As Carl said, I've studied to be a pastor. I've worked hard at being a pastor. I love being a pastor. And so this bishop role, boy, this feels a little bit different. it doesn't feel normal. It doesn't feel ordinary. And I really have to grow into this role. And so please have patience, have grace for Brian Martin, for Jim Wyke, and for myself as we grow into this new role. It is something quite a bit different. As I said, I've been a pastor at Blainsport for 25 years. And really, many of you probably already know some of the folks at Blainsport. You can probably, after the service, tell me, hey, I know this person or that person, and love serving there. But I want to tell you a little bit about myself, since I'm kind of new here to Bowmansville. My wife and I, we've been married for 29 years. We were married on November 1st, and we were married right here. It was right in this church where we got married. So 29 years we've been together, and we got married when we were 20 years old. So now you know how old I am. I'm 49 now, but when we were 20 years old, we got married, and we were kids. I mean, at 20 years old, you're kids. So we got to grow up together. I got to grow up with Cheryl, and the person that I am today is a result of Cheryl speaking into my life and helping me grow into the man that I am. And I've spoken into her life too, but I think I got the better end of the deal. And she really has spoken into me, and I am so blessed. As a matter of fact, I would say today I love my wife more than I've ever loved my wife before. I am so glad Cheryl's in my life. I love her, and so glad that we get to walk together, especially in this new role. She's here with me this morning, and she's committed to come along to the different churches as I'm speaking there, and at least I have one familiar face that I can look out, and there's an approving eyes that I see, and it's so good to have her with me. Over our 29 years together, we have three children. Our oldest son is Adam. Adam is 26 years old. He's married to Becky. They live in Mechanicsburg. Our next is a son, our son Jeremy. He's 24. He lives down in Philadelphia. And then our youngest, Brooke, she's 21. She lives out in Pittsburgh. And she's going to the University of Pittsburgh. She's a senior this year. It's kind of odd. All of her classes are online, except she had one lab that she needed to be there in person. So for the sake of that one lab, once a week, she lives in Pittsburgh. So the Marshall family has it covered from Pittsburgh to Mechanicsburg all the way down to Philadelphia. We have the state covered pretty well. And the difficulty with that is it's not just quickly get in the car and run over to one of their houses. It takes a little bit of effort and some time. It's a time commitment to get there. So we're looking forward to Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, we'll have we'll get together with our children, all of them, Lord willing. We'll get together with them and get to go over what many of your families go over, what's happening in your life, and how are you doing. And around the table, we have some traditional foods. Do you have traditional foods when you get together at Thanksgiving? I grew up in Gibraltar, Pennsylvania. It's close to Birdsboro. It's really back in the sticks. And so we had some pretty odd traditional foods at Thanksgiving. The one that I can really remember is my grandmother would make two types of filling. There would be the regular filling, and then there would be oyster filling. Do any of you make oyster filling? What is the matter with you? Oyster filling, I remember as a kid, I always wanted to get the regular filling. I wanted to get the regular filling so bad, but I'd always get a spoon of that oyster filling. And I'd get it on my plate, and that first spoonful would be terrible. I'd make the face, and then I'd hear my grandmother say, "Well, just eat it. You'll like it." I've never liked it. We no longer have oyster filling as a tradition at our house, but that was one of those growing up. Another one in Gibraltar, Pennsylvania, was we would have dandelion salad. Do you have dandelion? You have dandelion? We would put this sweet kind of lard bacon dressing on the dandelion to eat it. I could eat that sauce by the spoonful. I mean, you could just put that in front. I could eat that, but I couldn't quite stomach the dandelion. It is such bitter stuff. So the tradition that we tried is, well, we tried endive at first, and endive wasn't much better. And now we just do lettuce. So the dressing on lettuce seems to work for us a little bit better. But I'm sure you have some of those food type of traditions, or you have some other traditions that you have at Thanksgiving. I don't know what it is. Maybe you go watch the football game afterward. Maybe it's you go hunting beforehand, go out rabbit hunting, pheasant hunting beforehand. There might be those conversations you look forward to, or you get out the photo albums and you look at those black and white pictures. That's always a sweet time, isn't it? Remembering back to those who are no longer around the table. And we all have traditions. Some of those traditions wind up being, we start talking about politics. And then we start getting into the arguments. And then we start complaining about COVID this year or whatever the situation is. And by the end of the day, you brought up that old argument and that tradition of just getting at each other and leaving upset or maybe leaving earlier than you anticipated. And some of those traditions just stink, don't they? And I wonder this year, could the traditions look a little different if your tradition is ending the day storming out of the house? If it's just getting upset or avoiding one of the relatives around the table, I wonder if we can make it look a little bit different this year. I think the Apostle Paul advises us how it could look different, that we could have a joyful Thanksgiving instead of a Thanksgiving filled with anxiety and worry and fear, or ending in maybe some hatred and conversations we don't want to have. I wonder if we can take the Apostle Paul's words this morning, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. And here in Philippians 4, Paul is talking about joy. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." This is kind of interesting. Paul is writing this from prison. He's in a jail cell, probably chained to a Roman guard. And there Paul is, writing this and saying, "Rejoice. Rejoice." Now, I've got to tell you, if Paul can rejoice in the midst of being in jail, I think you and I can rejoice around a Thanksgiving table where we have all of those good foods, where we have family who comes together, where we have people who love us and we love them. I think we can rejoice if Paul could say rejoice in his situation. I think you and I can take this advice and we can have a joyful Thanksgiving this year. We can deliberately choose to rejoice. We can be filled with joy. We can be content. We can be filled with peace. You can know that even today. It doesn't have to be Thanksgiving that we wait for. Oh, we can experience that now. We can experience that every day. If you're a follower of Jesus, you can know joy, real joy. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are, what the situation is around us. We can have joy, complete joy, where we can really know in our hearts that we're at peace, that we're content with the way things are, because we know our eternity is bright. If you're a follower of Jesus today, you ought to be joy-filled. It shouldn't be like I once heard one older lady say, "Well, you know, I'm smiling on the inside. I don't smile on the outside. I smile on the inside, and I think we can do better than that, can't we? Rather than just smiling on the inside, I think we can be people who show our joy outwardly, where when others come around us, they feel our joy, they know our joy. And it's not because everything's going right all the time, but it's because everything is right, because our King is on the throne, because we have eternity that we know that we'll be spending with Him. That ought to produce such a joy in us all the time." So he goes on here in verse 5, Philippians 4, verse 5. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Let your gentleness. Can there be gentleness around your table this Thanksgiving? Can there be gentleness in your home regularly? Can there be gentleness flowing from you at work and in your school? Can there be gentleness flowing from us? Can we be gentle people, joyful and gentle people? He goes on, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's kind of interesting. This past week, I read an article in the New York Times. I look at it occasionally online. And it was talking about anxiety and how much anxiety our culture, our society feels right now. Anxiety because of the election and not really knowing the results of that. Anxiety because of COVID. Anxiety because people are losing jobs and not exactly sure what they're going to do next. There's all sorts of anxiety, and this article was talking about the anxiety and one mother who found the cure to anxiety. For her, it was starting to eat the marijuana type of edibles, you know, the brownies and that sort of thing. She said, I would have never done this in the past, but things are so bad. There's so much anxiety, and so she started eating the marijuana edibles. She turned to something, a substance. There are others that we know that turn to alcohol, the bottles, or they do take other sorts of pills. There's all sorts of ways that we can try to fill our time and our space and our minds by withdrawing from what's at hand and trying to get away and use something else to kind of fill that void and deal with the anxiety. And our culture is looking for a way to deal with anxiety, and this woman says, that's what I've turned to. I'm finding peace when I'm on marijuana. But you know, as followers of Christ, we know that our anxiety is not filled with a substance. Our anxiety is not dealt with a bottle or with some pills or even smoking something. No, our anxiety, Paul says here, is that in every situation we pray. We take our petitions to the Lord with thankful hearts. We're thankful. We present our request to the Lord. Do you do that? I mean, in the midst of the anxiety, do you come to the Lord? Do you bring your concerns to Him? Scripture tells us to cast our cares upon Jesus because He cares for you. Do you realize He cares that much for you? He wants to hear your troubles. He wants to hear your anxiety. He wants to hear your problems. Just recently, as I was going through the bishop discernment process, when I was first nominated, I was kind of tense. There was some anxiety that came in because I didn't think I was the guy for the job. How can I serve as bishop? I mean, there have been many who have gone before me who had very big shoes, and those shoes to fill would be very hard. I mean, I just look back at Carl. I know what a wonderful job that he had done, but before that, Irvin Martin, and you had Wilmer Lehman, and you had guys like Luke Horst and even Cheryl's grandfather, Howard Good, and I think, boy, those are big shoes. How can I fill that? And I started to feel the anxiety as I was nominated for this role. And then I came to my senses. And I said, I'm going to go through this process. And if I'm going to go through this process, I need to call upon the Lord. And as I called upon the Lord, I found this peace that just came over me, a peace that I couldn't quite explain. Just what Paul writes about here, a peace of God which transcends all understanding. I couldn't understand why I was feeling a peace as I kept moving forward in the process. The reason I couldn't understand it is because it wasn't of me. I didn't make the peace happen. And you don't have to make the peace happen in your life. You can experience peace when you come to the Lord in prayer. You know, you see, prayer is for you too. It's not just you pray for somebody else, but prayer is for you too when you ask the Lord to help you through your anxieties, your fears, your concerns. He goes on here in verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Look at this. Think on what's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, things that are excellent and praiseworthy. Think of those things. Our attitudes ought to be so much so that we're positive in our outlook and we look upon those things. You know, I needed to hear that because I'm not a positive person. You know, when it comes to a glass that's half empty, I consider it half empty when it's almost full yet. I'm not a very positive person. And my family can tell you that over the years that I haven't been positive. I would tell them when we're going to one place, I remember traveling with them several times, and you had to go through maybe 6 traffic lights. Every time I'd get there, it would turn red. I told my family, I've never had a green traffic light that I've gone through. I've never come up to a green traffic. Always that complaint. I would always have that glass half empty. I'd never think on what's good. It would always be, here's what's wrong. Hit another red light. That red light just watches for my car. It just knows me. Or going to the store and going to the checkout line. I am serious. It seems like every time I will get in the line, I will look ahead and see, okay, there's a person finishing up an order. The other person in front of me just has a few items, and then me. Or I could go over here, and there's 3 full carts. I'll get in the shorter line, and sure enough, that other line will go faster than me every time. Every time that will happen. You see, I'm not a very positive thinker, am I? And I can say that because I don't doubt many of you sitting here today, you're not very positive thinkers. You think about what's wrong. You think about what's bad. And I'm sure your stories are much worse than traffic lights and checkout lines, right? You have this type of attitude that if it's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong for me. And if it's something bad, it's going to happen to me. And we can be such people that are so negative. We can be negative people. And Paul says, don't think of these things. Turn your minds to what's good, what you know to be true. And the truth is, Jesus is for you. He's not against you. The truth is, he has been providing for you, hasn't he? Have our minds gone that way instead of everything is wrong, woe is me? Now, come on now. This Thanksgiving, it can be different. I mean, if you want to be joyful people, let's start thinking about those blessings that God has put in our lives. God has given you health. God has given you years. God has given you time. And yes, there may be some things that are wrong, but God has poured out his blessing upon you time after time after time. Let's think about these things. And let's praise him for those things. Let's keep our minds focused on what's true and not on these lies that we're so quick to believe. So I rejoice greatly in the Lord, Paul says in verse 10, that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Wow. Paul says, I got perspective here. I'm in jail here, but I'm content. I've learned to live with much. I've learned to live with little. And we're so accustomed to having much that when something is taken away from us, we think the world is falling apart. And that's not the case for many Christians around the world. They're living with suffering every day. And they're saying, but we have so much because the Lord gives us strength to get through each day. The Lord is the one on our side, and we can do all things through him who strengthens us. I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care, I do care, But I don't care if there are some tough things happening in your life. It shouldn't keep you from being content. It shouldn't hold you back from worshiping the Lord. I do care that those things are happening in your life, but it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter to us that we could still be content in the Lord. I'm saying your situations might be tough. There might be children who are straying. There may be some who have gone far away. There may be health situations that you're dealing with right now. There may be the fear of COVID. There may be all sorts of things that are going on, but the Lord can give you strength. The Lord is the one who strengthens you. I had a lot of fear during this bishop discernment process. I really did. I kept looking at my situation and myself, and I was saying, I can't fill this role. I'm not all that talented. And then I came to the Lord in prayer. And at one point, the Lord made it clear as I was studying in the scriptures, I was reading in 2 Corinthians, and chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, he's run through all of the suffering that he's been doing for the gospel. And he says, this is just tough. You know, I have personal ailments. I have people attacking me from the outside. There's all sorts of bad things going on in my life. I'm suffering here. And then I was feeling, okay, yeah, I feel this weakness too. And then Paul says the Lord came to him. And he says the Lord told him that his grace was sufficient for him. Lord Jesus says, my power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul says, I'm going to be content in my weakness, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong, because it's the Lord's power coming through me. And for some of us here today, we need to realize once again that your weakness does not keep you away from the good things in life. Your weakness does not keep you away from the family table. Your weaknesses does not mean that you cannot accomplish the things that the Lord has for you in this life. Some of you have not been serving in the church because you don't feel quite equipped. You're not quite good enough. You're not quite big enough. You're not quite strong enough. You're not quite old enough. You're not quite young enough. And you back away from serving in the church because you're not quite there. And you're saying, I'm too weak. But it's the Lord who strengthens you. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Whatever my situation, wherever I am in life, whatever my knowledge is, however much education I have, the Lord can use me now. And I can praise him now. I can worship him now. I can be joyful now because he provides for me. And I wonder if this Thanksgiving can look a little different for you. That you'll approach Thanksgiving Day a little bit differently. That you're going to come realizing that the Lord has a plan for you, that the Lord has your good in mind, and that the Lord wants you to have joy on that day, to fully thank him for the good that he's done. Now, I don't know what it looks like after the service here, if there's some greeting or that sort of thing. I look forward to meeting you. And as we meet together, just going by and saying hello, whatever it is, I know it's kind of easy just to say, hi, Eric, nice to have you as bishop, good to have you here today, look forward to getting to know you. Thanks for saying that. I appreciate that. But what I'd love to hear you say, what would bless me, and I believe bless the Lord, is as you come through that line today, or if there is a line, that you would say, here's what I'm going to do different this Thanksgiving. I'm going to be joyful this Thanksgiving. I'm going to choose joy this Thanksgiving. I'm going to focus on what good God has done in my life. I'm going to look at his abundance. I'm going to believe the truth. I'm going to look at those things that are positive instead of those things that are negative. I'd be blessed to hear those words. More than good sermon or anything like that, but just here's what I'm going to do with this today. This is going to make a difference in me. I'm going to apply this. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to apply this for this Thanksgiving, and then, moving forward, continue to apply it. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for meeting here with us today. We thank you for Thanksgiving, that we're reminded of your goodness, of your grace. We're reminded of your provision in our lives, and for this Thanksgiving, I pray over each person who is here today that you would give us the amazing ability to focus on the truth, on the good things, on the lovely things, on the right things, that we would draw those things to attention so that we can be truly thankful, that we can be truly at peace, truly content, and yes, Lord, truly joyful this Thanksgiving. Would you pour that over us today, Lord? And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Just wanted to quick say that if you guys didn't get a chance to sign up for the Christmas cookie fundraiser for my brother Devin, and you'd like to, there's tables either out here in this foyer or downstairs. Those will be available December 20th, and we'd like if everybody that wants to could sign up by December 6th. So thank you for your support of him. He'll be leading a team with YWAM to Colombia and South America this winter. And thank you also to everyone who is helping to bake those cookies from the congregation. It's very much appreciated.
I'd like to thank you, Eric, for your message this morning, your challenge that you have given us to be filled with joy no matter what our situation is, and for sharing of how we can have peace through Jesus. And I am always one of those people who are in the slow lane. Doesn't matter where it is. If you're behind me, you might want to change lanes in the car or at the grocery store. It'll just be faster for you. But God is teaching me patience through that. And we do need to rely on God's grace, which is more than enough. So will you stand to receive this parting benediction? From Numbers 6, 24 to 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. God bless you. Go in peace. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. You're dismissed.